get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's time to step into the snake pit. And now, with something completely over the top, the host and star of the Snake Pit, Snake.
Brought to you by
American Leak Detection.
Thank you, Jay. And we, of course, are live and in person in the Colony from World Springs, the largest outdoor wellness attraction in the United States. 10 acres. And apparently we're not the only ones that know about this place, because there's a lot of people up here and have been throughout the course of our time here from 2:30 on.
On a Wednesday.
People are very familiar with this place. We're trying to get the word out to make it even more familiar with it. It's a really, really cool spot for wellness and cold plunges and heat and all that stuff. Sauna, everything. So my time in the later evenings, the last three nights of my existence, because I've told you guys many times that I am prone to watch whatever TV shows that I'm behind on or that I want to see late at night.
Yes.
When the house shuts down.
Long after I'm asleep.
Yeah. I love it. Just because I can go.
I don't know if you're getting 8 hours, Corby.
Well, see, you're up at 5:30.
Yeah, he's sleeping while you're blogging.
Yeah, I'm up at 8:30. So you go to bed.
You get that far? Okay, I didn't know your dogs allowed you to sleep that late.
They now are at a point where when I get out of bed, they get out of bed.
Yeah, they know the drill.
Yeah, they do. Like, oh, God, Dad, all right.
All right.
So there is a 3-episode documentary on Netflix, and I'm sure you guys have seen it, or at least seen the blurbs about it, called American Manhunt, Osama Bin Laden. And it is the 3-hour documentary on the capture of Bin Laden. And I'm telling you, this is so freaking awesome.
Is it?
Holy cow. First off, it puts you right back in the place that you were on 9/11, which I think we all need reminders.
Now, you endorse the Black Hawk Down one, right?
Love Black Hawk Down.
I'm saying the documentary on Netflix, right?
Uh-huh.
Is this the same people? Same?
I don't think so.
Same series?
Yeah, I think it's different.
Boy, they are cranking out documentaries, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And this takes you back to the beginning of Osama bin Laden, when he was just this shadowy figure in the Afghan world of finance, and slowly but surely that turned into him being the leader basically of the Taliban, and trying to eliminate anything that he felt was a threat to his way of life. And it's incredible the way that they put this thing together. And remember, he was such a big force whenever the Soviets attacked Afghanistan.
Like Noah Brown.
He was. When the Soviets attacked Afghanistan and we were basically helping the Afghanis out with weapons and money and everything else to defeat the Soviets, because we were in the middle of the Cold War with the Soviets. Well, he came out of that and said, after they won and they defeated the Soviet Union pulled out of Afghanistan, the mighty Soviet Union, and this little group of band of warriors from Afghanistan, the rebellion basically, defeated them. And he said, no more. We are going to do things our way. We are going to, and that means we're going to treat women like absolute garbage. We're going to kill you if you're gay. I mean, you know the drill with the Taliban.
Mark.
They don't really put up with a lot of nonsense if you disagree with the way that they live. And they took over Afghanistan. And through all that, he viewed the United States, obviously, as a number one threat.
And he went to school in the U.S., did he not?
He did, yeah. He did. At some point, he spent a lot of time over here. I do know that. I mean, he may have gone to school in London, but
But he had been exposed.
He was westernized.
Yeah, he had been exposed to Western ideals and then fully rejected them.
Yes. And so he sees the U.S. as his number one target. What can we do? Well, the USS Cole, the ship that he bombed, killed, I don't even know how many people were killed in that bombing. That was him. The bombing of the World Trade Center in 90.
The first time.
4 or 5, yeah. The truck bomb that was underneath there. And the goal was to knock down the tower. And they said at the time, they were like, if that truck would have had a little bit more explosives and would have been positioned like 10 feet back, we would have taken the whole tower down. And remember when that happened? We were kind of in college, and I remember the story, but I'm like, well, that's weird. Anyway, what are you having for lunch?
They have Lucky Charms.
Seriously. Like, it just was just this thing. And this was a massive, massive explosion.
Car bomb can't take down a building. Come on.
Yeah. And then, of course, the planning for 9/11 and the execution of 9/11. They go deep, deep into this. And in the meantime, the CIA obviously is acutely aware of this. John Miller, the ABC journalist, went over there in 1998 and did an interview with bin Laden. I'd never seen this interview. It's in the documentary. It is fascinating. Like, I mean, they basically blindfold John Miller once he gets to the country. They take him up into the mountains. They unblindfold him. They take him in there to meet bin Laden. And bin Laden doesn't speak English. And so there's a translator there. And John Miller's like, well, I don't know what he's saying. And so you need to tell me what he says for follow-up questions. They're like, there will be no follow-up questions. These are the questions. We will answer them. And then you leave. And so he's like asking these questions. Bin Laden is answering through his translator. John Miller's just staring off into space. They get done with the questions. He looks at his camera guy and he's like, do we have anything here? And they go back and review the tapes. And within it is bin Laden's famous quote of, we don't care if you're not wearing a military outfit or not. You are the enemy. So you walking around in a t-shirt, you walking around in a tank top, you walking around in a business suit, we're going to kill you. And so that was all said in this interview.
Wow.
And meanwhile, and that was 1998. That's 3 years prior. And again, we're all like, ugh. Yeah.
He's over there living in a cave.
Yeah.
What is he going to do?
What can you do? So 9/11 happens, and, you know, they're all, George Bush is immediately, the story of George Bush being whisked up in the air in Air Force One, when they still don't know how many planes are up in the air at the time, attacking and all that. Like, we got to get him. He was at that elementary school in Florida. They get him up in the air, and then his think tank is up there, and they're just sitting around going, are you effing kidding me? And the question is, who did this? First question, who did this? Well, everybody in the CIA is like, it's bin Laden. You don't need to even research it. The flight manifests come down with the people that were on the planes. They link them up to, you know, Al-Qaeda-type people and Taliban-type people. And they're like, it is bin Laden. And then it was from that moment on, in September 11th of 2011, up until 2009 when he's killed, every day, every single day, there was a team assigned to find and kill Osama bin Laden. And that's the documentary, is this team that, whether it was the war in Afghanistan, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys remember this, but going into Afghanistan right after 9/11, we didn't send, basically the military said, we need 6 months to plan this. We can't just go. Mm-hmm. We need 6 months. And somebody within the CIA is like, give me 6 weeks. And I've got this. Oh, and God, George Bush looks at him and is like, you're in charge. And so, you know, within weeks, they're over there in Afghanistan. And once they get over there, getting rid of the Taliban, like, it was victory after victory after victory instantaneously. And by December, the Taliban was gone. So September to December, the U.S. had gone over there and within 3 months had eliminated the Taliban, or at least run them out of town. And they weren't in charge anymore. Well, they can't find him. That's the goal. It's one thing to get rid of the Taliban, but they can't find him. And do y'all remember the Battle of Tora Bora, where he was spotted in the mountains? And we sent over more bombs that had been released since World War II. Like, it dwarfed any military operation we had had in 50-some-odd years. Dropping bombs the size that, you know, standard bombs, not nuclear bombs, that you can't even comprehend how powerful they all were and how they were dropped in this region, and the son of a bitch got away.
They were flooding the zone.
They were flooding the zone, and they knew he got away because they thought they'd killed him, but then within a year, he's releasing these videos like, ha-ha, here I am, you know, and they're like, wait, is this like a fake? Surely we killed him. And again, day after day after day, millions upon millions. I'm sure it got to the billions. trying to hunt this guy down. And it just, after like 4 years, it just went cold. And they didn't know what to do. No leads, nothing. He stopped using cell phones or phones in general, like in 2003 or 4, because a bomb had been tracked to a satellite phone one of his lieutenants was using. And so he completely stopped using cell phones or any type of communication like that. It was like Tony Soprano, right? No phones. And
he got off Twitter.
Yeah, he's no longer posting about soccer matches or anything. But, yeah, I mean, and you didn't catch a break until Obama became president. And then, as George Bush said, when he literally handed off power to Obama, they were like, what's the biggest threat that you face right now? And this is 8 years after 9/11. He was like, well, there's one guy out there that wants to kill us all still, and we can't find him. And so Obama went in there and amped it up even more. And which I don't think I realized, but I mean, that went from a 90 to a 99.9 as far as the pressure they put on finding bin Laden until they finally, you know, the story's incredible of how they actually found him in Pakistan. It is needle in a haystack and a haystack and a haystack. Like, it's so crazy how it all unfolds. But this documentary.
So what's the time frame between when they believe they have his location to when SEAL Team 6 goes in and gets him?
So they went in there about 3 months prior, the CIA did, and set up camp in Abbottabad in Pakistan, which is near the Afghanistan border. They go over there a few months before to make sure that what they saw in surveillance video was true, and they're interviewing people in town. But all of this is obviously so covert. I'm like, how did you guys not get busted over there? And how did they not find out and move him immediately, yeah, you know, back into the hills? And then he's gone probably until now. Like, it is such the meticulous nature of it all. And also the CIA people that had about 200 feet of paperwork on this guy that the government was aware of, that then there was a New York Times bestseller that basically blamed the CIA for all this. Meanwhile, they couldn't warn the powers that be enough that this was about to happen. Mm-hmm. And they all knew it. They were like, something horrible before 9/11. Something is going to happen. Something terrible. But you just didn't know. You didn't know what or where it was going to come from. And as they all said, they're all alive today, the people that were involved in it. They were like, we were going to get blamed unless we had the specific date, time, city, all of it. It was going to fall on our feet. And they took the blame. They're like, we own it. We own it. But, dude, this is a three-hour masterclass documentary.
Okay.
It's, I mean, even if you're not into this type of thing.
Who isn't?
I don't know. I want everyone to be into it. And I also want people to watch it to be put back into that place. And also, when you see, it's amazing that 24 years ago, how united this country was.
Dude, that's the thing. That's the craziest.
And that you weren't worried about all the ridiculous nature of politics that we are today. Just the, you know, I don't have to explain it to you. Just the ridiculous nature of what we're involved in right now compared to what do we need to do?
I think that's repeated in history over and over and over again, is that nothing unifies a people like an outside force, right? It's how to make brothers stop arguing with each other, is somebody on the outside threatens a family, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a microcosm of our country.
Yeah.
Is that when you feel threatened from the outside, now everybody's an American and we're all pulling together.
And the amount of people that they detained that were, you know, part of his lieutenants and you know, just the pyramid from bin Laden all the way down, that they end up finding, that they end up interrogating, that they end up getting a little piece of information here and there and there, and it all leads to this ending of finally finding this guy. I mean, it is a miracle. It sounds like with all the technology we have today that it should be easy. Finding that guy was impossible.
Yeah, it's been out 2 weeks. It debuted at number one. It's still number two on Netflix shows.
Is it really?
Yeah,
it should be. It's freaking awesome. Netflix, Manhunt, Osama bin Laden.